whoever those levels may be that they choose to do business with. So it could be a pretty good revenue source in the near future.
I have a question on that. My understanding is that that money went to the county.
It goes into the general fund, which means we might have access to some of it.
How? By the county supervisor talking about allocating money to water districts to address this?
It could be happening, and it could be way down the road. If it's taken them this long to even get to rates, it's going to be 2-3 years down the line before county board of supervisors gets that on their agenda item. But it's another source of revenue we're watching. So yeah, it could happen, but it's going to be a long way off. Last thing I just have is I'm going to be attending the El Dorado County Water Agency meeting tomorrow. I'll report back on if there's anything that they may be doing. I'm interested to see what they're doing with their grant group, to see what kind of grants they may be working on. Final thing I have is that I'll be attending the Government Finance Officers Association 2 days training in Sacramento coming up September 16th and 17th. And I think, Dean, you're doing some of those too.
Yeah, I'll be there for 2, maybe 3 days.
And that's all I have.
Okay. A couple items just for me. I attended a media training event. Part of my role is currently as the board president, be a spokesperson for the district. So if any reason I'm able having to interact with media for something, I thought it might be appropriate to give them more media training, something I haven't done before. So I did a half-day training on that a couple weeks back. And then last week I did a financial management training as well, just kind of a refresher on budgets and audits and investments and et cetera. So trying to do that, keep fresh on those skills, and obviously it's a board oversight role rather than a staff role, which I've done in the past. So, and then also too, we're looking at, as Director Garcia said, I'll be at some of the GFOA trainings coming up here shortly. In terms of the legislation, so we are continuing to watch some bills at CSDA on behalf of the district too. So AB 1486 is a bill that we continue to oppose. So that bill is still going. It's on suspense in the Senate, so we're still working to try to kill that one and some other ones that we're watching as well. So we'll see. Never a dull moment in Sacramento. Okay, great. We'll move on to general manager's report. Steve?
I have slides on.
Right, I got it. Yep.
Thank you.
So I thought I'd throw some up on some items in my GM report up on slides so you can see it. Go to the next one. So I just put a few slides of some upcoming board items. So these are things to think about. My GM report also has a list of projects that are currently being worked on, but for the presentation purposes, I'm just going to focus on board items. So this is the list that's been on my report for August. So check marks are the ones we've done. So they're here today. We had the staff presentation on emergency response. Finance committee rules on today's agenda. Plans and bidding for main town reliability project are on the agenda, as is the NS notice of completion for Garden Park tank recoating. The agreement for annual account purchase we took off because we determined that the contract amount was sufficiently low that we didn't need to go to board approval. It was within GM authority. So when I had it on my list, I was thinking it would be over my authority, but it is not. So we went ahead and did that under my authority. And then next is September. So for September board items, the first one there is was mentioned under public comment. Professional Services Agreement for Review of Capital Replacement Program. As I've reported to the board a number of times, this has been out for proposals twice now. The first time back, we got one proposal, which did not comply with our purchase procurement policy. We need to try and get three. So I reported back to the board I was going to try again and recirculate it, so that's been done. New proposals are due August 20th. Next week. The one proposal person says they want to keep their proposal submitted for this round, so they're still willing to propose. So we'll see if we get any more between now and then. So that would be coming to the board in September. And in either case, my plan is to bring it back to the board, even if I only get one again, and have you guys provide some direction on it. We also have to bring back the social media policy, which we don't have one, but we should have something in place. I want to award a construction contract for the treated water main replacement project that is out to bid right now. Bid opening is tomorrow at 2 p.m. Also trying to bring back the RFP for a public outreach consultant. If you recall, this has been to the board at least twice, too. And the last time, the contract with the consultant was rejected, and the board directed me to revise the RFP and come back and get board approval on the RFP before I circulated it again. So this is something that's in the hopper to bring back, trying for September. We also need to update our late fee policy in response to legislation. I don't remember the code number, but there was legislation in the past last year that says by February 1st, 2020, we have to revise our rules, ordinances, resolutions, policies to provide more time for people to pay their water bills before we lock them off. Right. So we'll be bringing that back. Oh, I got social media policy, that's twice for some reason. So October, then, since today we're trying to approve the bid for the main canal reliability project, October would be the point we'd award that contract. Stephanie here is also working on the personnel manual update, so that's something that's been kind of roaming around here, I think, for many, many, many years before it started. And now that we have all MOUs updated, we need to get that finalized, so we'll be bringing that back to the board for approval soon. We need to get the roof repair contract going. That's something Daryl is working on and I'm helping out with, to repair the roof on this building and the shop building. Next time you guys go outside, look up at the eaves. They're all falling down. On this side of the building, pieces of the roof have already fallen off and into the parking lot a couple of times since I've been here, so I'm going to get that roof fixed. We also have two other RFPs out for engineering services. One is for stream gauging engineering. If you recall, one of the first things we talked about when I was here was getting the stream gauges up to date so we could comply with the new rules on providing real-time monitoring of our diversions and the reservoir. And so this is the next step of that, is to get those things designed, so we'll get them out to construct. So we're bringing that back to you. And then again, groundwater monitoring. This is just our annual groundwater monitoring reporting we do out in ALT. It's just time to revisit those contracts and make sure we're getting the best price that we can from our sampling consultants. And then future items. I just released an RFP last night for professional services for engineering project manager. With all these Cal projects we're trying to kick off, and I don't have anybody to manage them. We have George, who's retired, and Newton, probably going to leave, and we have me, and that's pretty much it. So
I have my roller skates on.
And we'll be bringing those to completion for the Oblong Trails Water Treatment Plant project. George is going to give us an update on that later. I need to get the asset management plan rolling, so at some point I'll coming back to the board for an agreement with the consultant to work on that. Board policy updates is something that's been there for a while. We have a couple of them on the agenda today. Capital facility charge update, district fee update, investment policy. Just a lot of stuff to work on. Oh, there's more. Mm-hmm. Late kids consideration policy. We got to start working on the upcountry ditch rehab project and also evaluating the community disposal system field. And I have a couple pictures. Let's go back from that and stop. Okay. Are there any questions on any of those items that I've got shown as upcoming?
Over here.
From the board.
And from the board first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steve, I have a couple based on your list that's printed, actually not these, since I didn't see these beforehand.
They're the same.
Okay. You have on here the annual tank recoding. What tank is that for?
Where is that? Under which month?
There is no month. It's just listed in projects under your general manager's report.
Project. So yeah, we're going to have the next tank. I don't know, Daryl, have you programmed the tank we're doing next?
Spanish Red Diggins.
Spanish Red Diggins tank.
Okay, thank you. And then the rebuild filter at Walton Lake Treatment Plant.
Yep.
Is that in direct result to the other item that's on the agenda for the crypto?
Nope.
And install the backup generator? Is that the one for the office?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a date on that when that might?
No.
Haven't gotten one yet.
Daryl is meeting with electricians and trying to develop a scope.
Okay, so at the scope point now. Great. And any update on the Tyler Technologies status of implementing either the new financial software or their...
Nothing yet. We don't have a work plan yet from them. We've exchanged information, but I don't think we have a timeline yet, right?
No. Nothing. We have a meeting with them on Friday.
Okay, great. And then one last question. I know that Adam was contacted by Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board about updating the ALT zone permit. So I noticed that's not on your list. Are you going to be working on that as well?
We're going to reach out to them because the letter we received from them contains bad information. They write the letter as if we would ask them to update the permit, and we did not ever ask them to update the permit. So there's some communication going on aside from staff, I think. I don't know who asked them, who told them we wanted to update the permit.
Okay.
But that's what their letter says, and that's not accurate.
Okay. So it's on hold for now. Okay. That's status. Meeting Friday. Okay, great. Thank you. That's all I had.
Great. Public comment?
I just had a curiosity question and then a financial question. The curiosity question is, the roof repair is a board item for October. That seems a little late. I don't think you want your roof off in November or December. Just curiosity as to why we wouldn't put that up right away and get it done.
Do you want an answer?
Sure.
Well, the repair, first of all, is not the whole roof. It's around the eaves. And second of all, we have to get it done. I agree. So we're moving as quick as we can in accordance with the laws and regulations around here. And we can't just hire somebody off the street. We have to follow the procedure and process. So.
Okay. Just that was curiosity.
You're right. We need to get done before it starts raining. Right?
I think that'd be good.
That's
yeah.
the goal.
Yeah. So Daryl's working as hard as he can on it.
Second is, I didn't see anything up there about the meter project, and I know that the funding has been the issue. Is there any movement on that, or is that just kind of hanging out there?
It's on the written staff report, item one. It is, the finance application is in with the state, and they're reviewing it and reporting with them on a weekly basis to try and get the funding approved.
So cool. Thanks.
I wish we could just have them snap their fingers and give us the money.
I noticed that there is nothing on there about the irrigation ordinance. Is that ever going to be discussed?
I think it's listed as a project. It's in there. Our written staff report is a project, the second bullet down. We had the first workshop in September, the next one in October. We brought back to the board and got some direction. I think there were only two items that were direction on updating the ordinance, and they were working on those. I don't know that they were that significant. Certainly not as significant as it appears the board seems to think they were, so I don't know if there's misunderstanding. Maybe it's something we bring back as just an update item, like, here's what you guys directed us to do. If I recall correctly, the item was somehow come with contracts that could span more than one season. And that was the only substantial change that I recall from that workshop.
Look back on my notes.
So maybe we need to bring it back as an informational item.
Can we talk about that?
Okay.
What I can add to that is there were issues that came up with people coming in and asking for changes of minors issues and stuff, and things we saw that came up where we can have maybe add some issues that we see that happened that could be addressed as well.
That all happened after all these workshops. The only thing they counted as workshops was the multi-year contracts.
Cindy mentioned about the marijuana grows, and the county is setting up plans to deal with it. There's a lot of grows around here, and I'm wondering about the effects of the pesticides and the fertilizers that they're using. Is that getting into our groundwater and going downstream on some of these creeks, and getting into our drinking water supplies, What are we going to do about that? We're going to have the marijuana people pay for the treatment?
I want to show a couple pictures.
I
wanted to share pictures of some stuff that happened this week.
Let me get back to it, Steve. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. And then I'll... It's the last two, I think. Sorry.
It's all right.
There. So I sent up, I think I sent an email to the board about this Kit Fox court. So this is a picture of the Kit Fox court. This is what blew up this week again, another water line. Rupture. Oh, I didn't have a visual aid. But that's what I wanted to point out is there's a house down there, and that poor guy at the back of the cul-de-sac, every time that line breaks, it floods his garage. And I'm going to show again.
He doesn't have a drain in front of him?
Nope.
It goes right
the whole subdivision, it goes right down his driveway, and then it cuts off to the left and goes down the hill.
He's got a drain, but not,
next,
for
not a lot of water. That's the, it goes down the driveway, and then it goes down that way towards the other guy's house, and then out onto Sweetwater Trail.
Wow.
Okay, and then, so this is the pipe that came out of the ground, and this is what's happening to that pipe out there, and that's why in this project, it's splitting 12 foot from joint to joint. 12 feet long, just split right down the lawn. So this is, again, I don't know.
It's got 86 on it.
Same, like this is what happened last year, same place. This is what happened this year, same thing.
That's a pipe.
This is what it should be looking like. This is the pipe that we want to put in. That's the thickness. This is the thickness that's in there.
So
that's,
what's in
this
thing?
Is all
is
why we're
20 and we should be putting in 80?
Well, C900. This I don't know what
I don't know the number
schedule. C900 is what it's supposed to be. This is not. This is I don't know what this is. It doesn't even say on
it.
Yeah,
from
1976.
So this right here, it's got 96 on there, so that's probably when it was put in.
Where?
No, it was put in the 70s.
No, this is, no, this Jake, or not Jake, Christian, I think, wrote on there when it was put, I don't know what that is. But he wrote on there when they took it out.
Yeah.
So that's why, I mean, this is why we're doing this project that's out to bid, we're opening tomorrow, and that's why it's important. We can't keep flooding this guy's garage. I think he told me when I met with him 5 times in 5 years.
There's, there's other slides on there. Did you want me to?
There are? After
I think,
that?
I
oh,
thought
yeah.
there was
Keep
one
going.
More. Yeah.
Oh, so this
or,
is
so.
Another leak.
Thank you.
Yeah, I went out with Caroline the other day. This is a paymaster.
It got fixed today.
Did it get fixed?
Done.
It did. It's right in front of my house.
Oh, is it?
Is there any more? Oh.
And then these are pictures from
that got fixed today too.
This section, and this is but this is the section. I want to bring this up because this is a section of canal that is on this main canal lining project that you guys are going to ask you to award today or authorize the bid today. And so this is at least the second time that we've gone out to try and fix this leak since I've been here. So when last came up, we went out and put those bags you can see on the left slide to try and stop it, and then. I was out there, I drove by again, like, it's still leaking. And so that's these pictures. Even though I put those bags in there, it was still leaking. And so I don't know how many times we keep trying to patch that same spot. It seems like we're patching the same spot over and over again with these 10 patches and nothing's holding. And so
that's
I just want to show this illustration of some of the stuff that happened this week that demonstrates what we're dealing with on a daily basis and why we're trying to do these capital projects that cost a lot of money.
Is this upcountry?
No, this is right here, right down by Slugger. Daryl, tell you.
Oh, where is it?
Go ahead, Daryl.
Just below Spanish Trade Against Road, just out of Georgetown.
Oh, okay.
It's right on 183. You can almost see it if you look to the
usually
right.
You can see the water down there where it's from all the leaks.
Yeah.
Yep. So, is that it? That's it. That's old stuff. Okay.
Just once again demonstrates the need why we need to put money aside for capital investments that this district didn't do for way too long, and now we're having to pay for it. So hopefully we keep doing it moving forward to actually put money aside to repair these things because we have like 60% of our infrastructure's over 40 years old.
That sounds about right.
Something like that. It's all going to keep breaking. So okay, thank you, Steve.
I'll be right back.
Operations manager report, Daryl.
Take it away, please. Okay. Even though in my report I noticed water production, it says for June, it was actually July. This is all for last month. One thing I'll say right now is the lake stopped spilling on the 16th of last month, July, which was 5 days from the record. The record is the July 21st.
That was my birthday.
Do you know when that was?
So 1995.
Okay.
And it stopped spilling when, Daryl?
This year?
Yeah.
This year was the 16th, July 16th. Yeah, bum me out. I lost the in-house bet.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wasn't me. So anyway, that was good, though. That's really neat that the lake is still, it's only a foot down. I mean, if we get any rain at all this winter, it's going to fill and spill real quick, which is, I love that. So it makes me makes me feel better. Water production's holding in. They're doing good at the treatment plants. All the sampling has been good. We were just talking about infrastructure. The guys had 13 service leaks last month, which is, you know, the, from the main to the meter, that little black tube that we use, 13 of them, which is actually a lot for 1 month. And they're going to have at least that much now. That one you saw that we fixed today, and there's another one up country, there's another one on Seeger Lake Trail. They're all over the place right now. The guys are just going, that's all they're doing, is fixing. Luckily, we only had one main break last month. And so far, one, the one you just saw in Kit Fox, this month, I don't want to see that one go again, ever. Yeah, so that's what's going on there. And the ditch is just the same old thing, trying to keep water going. And the brush and grass that grows in it and the moss that we didn't used to have that we do have now. It's just a never-ending process of clearing the ditches, trying to keep the water level down. The lower the level, the less leaks.
Why do we have moss now when we didn't have it in the past?
I don't know. When I was started here, we didn't deal with it. Because I cleaned the ditch from one end to the other all the way down, and we never had moss in the ditch. And I have a feeling it has to do with warmer water temperatures.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
There's no climate change.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of sedimentation coming
down too? Because we have lakes, we do have. Well, I shouldn't say no. We don't see it in the ditches, we see it in the lakes. Mm-hmm. Like Walton Lake is getting really bad. I don't know if anybody goes to Fish and Derby, but the whole other upper end of the lake is nothing but organics now.
Right.
And that's something Adam, who's not here today, he's going to be working on a way to, maybe that we can get that cleaned out and dredged. You know, the appropriate ways. Because we're losing a lot of storage in that lake, plus there's so much organic material we need to get out of there.
That's where we're getting, and I'm afraid we're getting our crypto
and Stumpy, you know, is filling up on the other end too.
Right.
So from the King Fire,
right.
You know, all that. Mm-hmm. So, as a matter of fact, most of our reservoirs are getting full. It's going to be a big deal for in the future, and it's, you know, super expensive, but we're going to have to get all this out of, cleaned out.
Is there any idea as to what kind of capacity, well, as you kind of said for Walton, but for Stumpy?
Stumpy, I don't think it's huge. I mean, it's a 20,000 acre foot lake. I'd just be a total guess,
okay.
But I don't think it's huge because on the upper end, you can see it at the upper end, but you can also still see the stumps underwater that were cut in 60,
right.
You know, and being that you can still see the stumps means it hasn't come up over to bury them all.
Right.
So that part's, it's Stumpy's holding in there pretty good.
And you had to replace a hydrant at Greenwood Post Office? Somebody bumped into it?
Yes. That's the third hydrant in Greenwood in the last few months. The one in front of the post office got hit, the one down on the corner in Greenwood and Ricky Road got hit. And another one, I can't remember, was right in the same area, got hit. And one of them was gone. We never even found it. They took it.
Yeah, it was at the firehouse, a vehicle accident, and took one out.
So did they pay for that?
We didn't have...
No,
yeah, so one happened at the fire station.
Okay. Yeah, if we get an accident report, we can bill them, yes.
We can bill their insurance.
And Daryl, what needed to be taken care of by the telemetry at the Garden Park and the Kelsey tank?
The Garden Park tank, because we just had it rebuilt. And
they take things down, they just need to reestablish it?
Yeah, there was things unplugged that didn't get plugged back in, and batteries went bad because they weren't being charged during the project.
Yeah.
So our guys went out and fixed that, and then another tank, we weren't working on it, but it went bad too. It was the same thing. I think it might have been a transducer they had to put, needed replaced.
You'll hear first, right? People don't get their email. Okay, thanks.
I had a question for Steve, who
sure.
just came back.
Sure.
And be like, what? At Stumpy, the SPI owns most of the land, and is there anything we can do in terms of having the trees planted back? Because that's a lot of the area where we're seeing a lot of that buildup at the lake.
I haven't talked to them since I've been here, really, so I might as well reach out to them. And Daryl's,
they're already planted.
Are they?
You look everywhere in there, everything is replanted up there.
Okay.
But it's so they're only like a foot tall.
When did they do that?
What's that?
When did they do that?
They did that a couple years ago.
Pretty much immediately
right
after.
They were knocking it out fast. It was Forest Service lands that just recently got planted. But yeah, they did it a long time ago. We just have to wait for them to start growing.
Yeah. Take a little bit of time there. So. Okay. Great. Okay, let's move on to George.
Oh. I just want to let you know there was a temporary blockage in the
ditch just off of Cascade in Sweetwater. There was a 10-point buck taking a bath in it, and he was in there for about an hour and a half.
Do that as your guilty. That's a good one.
George, let's go on to ALT water treatment plant.
Okay. You want to begin with the slides?
Yep.
Are you ready to help us, Kathy?
Yeah, I'm loading it up for as we speak.
No.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you can move beyond that one.
Hey, I was trying, I had my glasses on, I'm like, why can't I see it?
That one too, that's just, again, this is something we go over every month. It's probably not of great interest to everybody. I think you have to hit something to get all those people to pop up again. We're pretty familiar with Myers doing the construction. Somas did the original design. They continue to provide engineering support when we have submittals. That's pretty much over with now. Material testing, Youngdahl, they haven't been out there for a while. Foothill Associates, they worked on the environmental document. That's at the tail end stage. And then NextGen Construction Management, they're still active out there. That's a picture of the sludge drying beds. That material actually came out of the sludge tank, which was old clarifier. Do you want to talk a little bit about it, Daryl, when they put it in there? I mean, that's basically what we're going to see in the way. That's the only basin that we activated, but it was part of the startup of the plant to make sure everything functioned. That's the sludge material that we're going to see in that sand bed. There's four of those beds. We can go to the next one.
It's not listening.
Okay.
It's fancy flying.
Basically,
to go just dirt. And
keep
stuff
going.
And just
okay.
Go. Okay, let's hit the next one. It'll give the title of this.
Oh, this is fancy.
Yeah. Okay, we've talked about the tracer study before. We actually had Somas under contract to do a tracer study, which they completed for us. The state decided they wanted to do another tracer study. They felt that they could come up with a better baffling factor, which will result in long-term use of less chemicals. They completed that, and actually the process that they used was different than what Somas used. And they came up with a better baffling factor. A perfect baffling factor would be 1. When we did it with Somas, it was 0.5. When the state conducted theirs, it was 0.6. So we're going to take the data. The state's indicated we'll take the data from what Somas did. They'll incorporate their information, and hopefully we can run with the 0.6, which is one that we like. All of those individuals that you see there are state representatives. The person in the far background is our current inspector. He's the one that issued our temporary operating permit for ALT. He's fairly new to us at the district, but I think Daryl will agree. He's very progressive. He's helped the district a lot move through these things. We've had a lot of questions, and he's really good about getting the answers. His supervisor is a guy kind of bending down there, and then the guy with the little dipper there is an engineer that has done a lot of research on tracer studies. He really wanted to get up to our new plant and see what this with the serpentine chlorine contact basin, how it came together. He did a really nice, clear, concise report. So that's probably something that the state will use in the future when they give presentations on different types of tracer studies. But all of that work was done by the state. They came out one day, they paid for all the lab fees. We didn't pay any labor or anything. So it was just a total benefit to the district because it gave us a much better baffling factor number. I'll say much better. Anytime you can increase that, it's better. So that's what that's all about. Okay, is there a title for that
one? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll just go ahead and double click
that,
from the beginning.
The painters are, this is a subcontractor for Myers or from Southern California. It's challenging to get them to get all the painting finished, but that's what they're working on today as we speak. What's new in that particular photo, they had to prep all the top decks on the office buildings. That's probably, don't you think that's down where the blower is and maybe the electrical room?
Yes, Darryl, it is.
Which would be the south end of the building.
Yeah.
So that's just some painting. That's been an activity that's currently going on out there. Okay, this is also part of the painter's work. That was a epoxy-coated paint that was in the chemical storage room that failed, or we deemed that it failed. It had bubbles in it, so they tore it all out, and they've yet to replace it. They will replace it, but that's what that is, an epoxy-coated floor, and you can see the heavy pieces of it. So that was rejected, and they're in there taking it all out again. I think the reason it failed, they didn't prepare the floor correctly initially when they put it down. Here we see the painters again. They're up in the filters. What they're primarily working on, there's little scratches and scuff marks that occur in the filters themselves, and they're doing touch-up painting. So that's what that's all about. Okay, this is some more operator training. Was that Burlingame, Daryl, that's doing that on some of the chemical feed systems? You can see the contractor has a representative there with a camera. Those are all videotaped, so the district will have those at the end of the job. Future employees can go back, or current employees go back and look at the video to just look over how they were trained originally, and kind of, it's kind of like a little
refresher.
Yeah,
tutorial. There you go.
Okay, this is Angel Tank Communications. They had to do some modifications to the communication system up there to send readings back to the plant. They actually installed a splitter, which allowed us to work with the old plant until we transitioned over to the new. I'm not going to talk too much about the old plant because we're on the new plant now. I'm really pleased. I think Daryl's pleased with how it's functioning. So all the communication now is a dedicated effort from that tank back to the new plant. And that's also functioning. Okay, this is a budget that we update every month. You can see slight increases in the construction engineering part of it, primarily next-gen invoices, and then the construction itself. That would be the work that Myers has done from the last 30 days that we looked at it. But that's the same budget thing that we looked at oftentimes. These are disbursements on our state loan. It's got the total claims pending and the total disbursements received, and then the total claims submitted. It's a summary of that.
Oops. Is that the end?
Yep.
Where's the champagne? Board questions?
Yeah. What I'd like to really do is, we've gone over our standard report many times. There's information in there. I'd be more than happy to answer specific questions, but I think what's really important to report to the board today, during this last period of July, we got our temporary operating permit from the state. I really want to compliment Daryl for all the effort he put into that, working with those individuals you saw there. That permits, they estimate it's going to take about a year for us to get our new permit, and it'll be a new complete system permit. It'll involve Walton, it'll involve ALT distribution systems, tanks, pumps, all that kind of thing. So I really feel Daryl did a good job. We've got that. It allowed us to begin operating the plant, and that's where we're at today with that. Also, on August 1st was the first day we produced water from the new plant. It's been continuous since then. We've had a series of alarms that go off to the operators. A lot of that had to do with set points in the SCADA system that had to be modified. But here again, today as we speak, we've been online for 13 days. I think it's really functioning well now. They've worked out a lot of the problems. We won't be going back to the old plant. We've already started working on the filter-to-waste tank, which is one of the final big tank jobs that Myers & Sons will be doing for us. We've already Gloria worked today working with PG&E to have the power service disconnected down there. They allowed us to have two services until we finished with the new one. So those are all really positive things in my opinion, and I'm just really pleased to report that. Again, the rest of the report's pretty much the same stuff that we look monthly, but those are the things that I think we as a community have to be real proud of.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for doing a good job.
But again, it's important that the board and community know it's not just me, it's a staff effort. All of the operators, I singled out Daryl, he's operations manager, but all of them have worked hard to make this thing work.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. Any other comments on the board? Questions?
No, I just want to commend everybody for doing a good job. I know it's a long time in coming. It's a lot of work. I'm glad it's here. So appreciate everybody's efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you for the tour.
When are you going to dismantle the old plant? Is that happening?
Steve's got a capital improvement project in the budget. I don't know the exact date, but...
Are you going to keep it for backup for a while?
We can't go back to it. All the piping's been taken away. We actually salvaged some of the stuff that Daryl felt that we could sell.
Yeah.
You know, like big pump fixture units, and then he's got a CIP project that talks about the demo part of it. But I don't ever want to even think of going back. There are too many things that to connect the new plant in, we had to sever. So the new plant is so far advanced over that, it's the way to go and the way to stay. So.
Okay. Thank you. Next, Finance Committee report.
I submitted an agenda for the meeting that's scheduled for next week through the board liaison. I think you all have a copy of it. Okay. It is the things that I got a concurrence on back in May, and I would like to move forward with that in discussion with the board. We talked about the Finance Committee being proactive in their leisure time, if I can use that term, where the board hasn't tasked us with anything specific to do. And just a matter of using the board to go out and research what different people are doing, what things could be done, and then submitting them to the board for review and consideration. So I guess with your permission, then I would like to get that published so that I can hold a meeting next week.
Well, my question is to what, has staff been able to develop any sort of their agenda items yet at this point?
No.
So I'm not willing to approve this because the staff has items I'm sure they want to bring to the Finance Committee as well to develop an agenda. So.
Yeah, there is an item here to talk about committee items for this fiscal year. So.
Right, well this is a report anyways. This isn't an approval of anything. Right?
Well, so, that's true, it is informational.
But the Finance Committee has the ability to bring items before the board that they looked at, proposed for board approval, so I mean that is part of the Finance Committee role.
Right, which we have another agenda item on this though. This is just an informational item, which you requested actually for last time. So, yeah, so essentially there's been no meeting.
We can look at this at 7G.
Sure. Okay, anything else? Okay, moving on, sorry, putting back here. New business, item 7A, budget increase in the amount of $20,000 to fund new California water testing requirements.
Back to the PowerPoint.
7A. Mm-hmm. No, he set me up.
Since Adam is taking the world as a break, I'm going to handle this as best I can on his behalf.
Thank you.
So, this is a request to approve amendment to the operating budget by $20,780 to fund some new sampling requirements that just came up from the state. And these are part of a rule that's called long-term to enhance surface water treatment rule. And so for my slides, I got a little table. This is the timetable from the rule from the state board. I think to summarize essentially what's happened is it's kind of been a multi-phase approach from the state. In 2008, they said you need to do 12 months of sampling of your source water for E. coli, which is the indicator species for other types of viruses, bacteria that could be in our source water. So this is the raw water. It's the untreated water before we treat it. They wanted us to test it all for E. coli for 12 months. I think it's every 2 weeks. So we did that way back when, 2008, and we came in below the threshold. So if you click one at a time, I got a little, so that's the first step of the rule. So you go to this table, there's the first step from 2008. Do your testing for E. coli twice a month or every 2 weeks for the full year, and then click again. If you're less than 10 MPN per 100 mils, which is just how they measure how much E. coli is in there, then you go to the next step down there at the bottom of the table, which is you're not required to monitor for cryptosporidium. And so we were below that, so we didn't have to do cryptosporidium again. But then in 2017, or we were supposed to go back and sample again. So we just finished that up in 1819, sampling again for E. coli because we didn't have, it didn't trigger cryptosporidium sampling 2008. So they said come back in 9 years and sample again for E. coli every 2 weeks and then check it again. So we checked it again and now we're above that 10 MPN per 100 mils. So that now we got to do more sampling again for cryptosporidium. So now we have to sample twice a month for 12, twice a week, twice at least 12 months. Anyways, and it's twice a week for 12 months for cryptosporidium. So this is a new requirement. We didn't trigger it in 08. We triggered it this time. So we'll go through this sampling again for the full year for cryptosporidium. And that is an extra cost is for, you can go to the next slide. And then the state will use that data to either, I mean, if it comes up over whatever threshold they have, then we'll have to probably do more sampling. Both treatment plants, I've talked to Daryl about this, both treatment plants are equipped to perform the treatment that would remove cryptosporidium. So from a treatment perspective, we're not concerned. It's really a sampling analysis perspective. Is that
yes.
true?
Okay. Yeah.
So this with this new budget amendment and this new work, we'd have to sample every 2 weeks influence for both plants. We got three quotes from certified labs. BioVir was the lowest one. It assumes that we put in four matrix spikes. The only reason I point this out is because it makes the math work. If you think of it as 56 or 52 samples at 350 per sample, it doesn't work because they threw in four matrix spikes, assuming they would have to do some additional testing on four of the samples to get the spikes right. So the total cost, including the courier cost, so because this is has to arrive at the lab, but it's within a certain amount of time at a certain temperature, or for the E. coli to still be alive, there's it costs extra money to get it there quickly. So $20,780 is a total budget amendment. This was not included in the fiscal year 1920 budget. We didn't know we were going to hit that threshold and trigger this additional sampling at that point in time. The budget is prepared, so now we need to do a budget amendment. The funds come from Fund 10, so it is coming from our operating reserves. That would reduce our projected 1920 ending fund balance from $1.575 million to $1.554 million. We're asking the board today to adopt the resolution approving this budget amendment, so then we can sign the agreement and get them going on the sampling. That's it.
I have a question, Steve. So did I hear you correctly? You say that it's when it goes through the treatment process, this gets below the level or it's addressed?
Yes. The treatment, Daryl can answer.
Yeah, that it's really almost irrelevant what if it's in there or not in there. Like Giardia, we know it's going to be in the water occasionally. Right. It always is in any surface water. The filter process at both plants remove it all anyway. They just want to know if it's there, and all that does is trigger more sampling.
Why do they want to know it's there? What's the
because it's bad. You don't want it's it bad. In your water. Mm-hmm. People get really sick from it. And, cryptosporidium is worse, and it may trigger. I'm just saying may because I don't know. It may trigger sampling of treated water if we have more of it in our... We've never had a hit for cryptosporidium yet, but if we ever do, they might want us to start sampling treated water as well to make sure that it's not in there. And the sampling events that they are getting are moments in time. It's just what you got out of that water, that 2 minutes it took to fill the bottle, and then what, you know... So it's really hit and miss with surface water. So anyway, that's...
Okay.
But... Our filters work great. It's to take it all out. It has to be filtered out. That's the only way to get rid of it.
Okay. So we're spending $20,000 for something that's already taken out in the filter process anyways.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, other questions? Board members?
Daryl, are you ready for these? I got quite a few.
Would you like me to turn the lights back on? Or?
Yeah, for
yep.
sure.
I'll try.
We can work with Adam later.
Adam, this is his baby, but I know some of it.
Okay. I noticed in the background it says at port as in singular. Is there just one collection port for raw water at each of the facilities?
Yes.
Okay. And are any of these, raw water I'm assuming is unfiltered?
Yes, it says it's entering the treatment plant. It hasn't been filtered.
Okay. Do we have any sampling ports in the treatment plants for filtered water?
For filtered water? Well, inside the treatment plant, there's three different waters. You have your raw water, your plant water that's been treated, but the contact time hasn't happened yet, and that's what goes to all your fire hydrants and systems and sinks. You don't drink it. And then you have your finished water.
Okay.
And we sample everything. It's all monitored all day long, pH, turbidity, chlorine, in all of those waters.
So, and all of those waters have been tested. The only time the E. coli showed up is in this unfiltered raw water.
It's only in the raw water.
And it's just this one time.
Yes.
There's no past history of us having any.
Oh, there's always E. coli in every sample. It's just, is it over?
For crypto.
Yes, because it was over that 10 parts per million, I think he said, 10 most probable number.
So if this is something that's happening on a routine basis, it's probably more than likely not a sampler's issue, meaning the way the samples are being taken.
Right.
So folks are handling the jars the way they should be, not by the threads, they're wearing their gloves. It's not the sampler's issue.
Yes.
It's actually a source issue.
Right.
Okay. Did you think about taking, or would you at least consider thinking about taking extra samples just in case you have some sample breakage or you have some that are out of compliance for the holding temperature or the turnaround times?
Well, we don't. All of our samples that we take go down the same day, so we don't have any. The pH is 15 minutes, but that's why we take the pH ourselves. So they're all in within the hold times, and we do it, the raw, I think, is... forget what they do it. I think it's every other week. We do it every other week anyway.
Right.
So we're always taking samples from both plants every other week.
So you've already got that plan established and routine established. So you're not sending samples down on an emergency when the lab's going to be closed. They're going to be open to receive them. We're not going to blow holding times or turnaround times.
Nope. Okay. Nope, not at all.
And we've never had any problems with any breakage or anything that we then have to turn around and send another sample down?
Any breakage, like you dropped a sample?
Or they get damaged or they get broken in transit?
Oh, I had broken one once about 10 years ago, but we take extra samples so we don't have to worry about it.
Okay, great. And this is thinking ahead, but have you thought about a plan if you get any positive hits from any of this sampling?
A plan as in from the cryptosporidium?
Right. What we do, how we're going to work with the state, what we're going to do about if we get positive hits from the lab.
We thought about it. It's part of our treatment process. As I said, if we get hits, it's not going to change anything that we do. We're still going to make the water, drinking water, be the same. It's going to be up to them to want to change our sampling events is all that's going to trigger.
Okay. Can I throw out an idea then for you to consider? Again, this is just based on experience. Work with your lab and see if they'll hold back a portion for a period of time within the holding time in case they need to resample. Because they might come up with a false positive.
Oh, for cryptosporidium?
Right. So when you send them a whole bunch and they take out a little bit to sample, have them hold that during the holding time, the 96 hours, just in case they come up with a false positive, they can go back and resample.
Yeah, I don't know what the hold time is for crypto. I don't know on that one.
It looks like it's about 96 hours according to the contract, but it's whatever you work out with your lab.
Yeah.
Just a consideration. Think about that. The other thing with positive hits, depending on what the state may work with you on, is they may require additional treatment techniques needed, like the chlorine dioxide, which is powder. That's a simple fix. But if we have to go to ozone or UV, those are large pieces of equipment, things like that. So there might be something to consider there.
Well, those don't kill crypto. It can only be filtered out.
Okay, according to the... Well, I'll show you. I'll send you what I got from EPA. And we can talk about that.
Yeah, it's part of our four-log removal process. Mm-hmm. Both plants are certified four-log removal, which takes care of crypto, bacteria, giardia, cryptosporidium, all that.
Okay. A couple more questions. When we hit this problem, I'm sure that the state was notified within the requirements.
Oh, yeah.
Did they require us to do any public notifications?
No.
Good. Okay. And are we in jeopardy of any violations?
No.
Okay. Let me turn the page and just double check. Let's see. The cost. Can we look at the back page of the cost? I noticed that we have a net charge here in the budget, and it says that the increase will be the $20,700, but when I do the math of 52 times 350, I get 18,200. And if you, so I think the 2780 might be off just a bit if you had the 2400. So is there some additional charge that might be in here that I'm...
Yes, Steve explained it during his presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the samples, it assumes four samples will be done matrix spikes, which is $395 per sample. So if you take...
Okay, that's what it is, thank you.
If you do the difference on four samples, $45 times four, that's the difference.
Okay, got it, thank you. Okay. The other question I have is, in January of 2019 and then in April 1st of 2019, according to the guidelines for drinking water scheduling for the sampling, it looks like we did our annual round. Have we thought about maybe using this information, since we've got to do this for a year, to not only use that information, but use the information for what we're going to be collecting and the data in the future, but take the back data from those two rounds and come up with a running annual average? Does that help us at all going forward, working with the state in any way that you can see that might help us with a requirement for any additional treatment or any changing of filters?
It may. I know we already do all that. We're going to do running averages. Especially Adam has it all dialed in on that. We've always done that anyway. But as far as help with the state, there's not a lot of help. I mean, our samples, they are what they are. They get the results. We send them to them every month. Every result of every sample we take, they get it monthly. Okay. And they look at it, and that's when they sent us, you know, the new standard that they want us to do. So they know everything almost as it's happening.
All right. Okay, great. Good. Okay, just a couple more. The QAQC that's going along with this, it's only for Michter spikes. Are you going to be doing any blanks or any field spikes?
I have no idea on that end of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have to...
Normally they always
do
blanks.
Yeah, that's something the lab does, so I'd have to dig into what their procedures are. I mean, these are certified, ELAP certified labs, so they follow ELAP procedures.
Correct. But sometimes we have the option to ask them if they would accommodate what we call a field spike. The beauty of that and the benefit of that is it's where you take what they give you, the spike out in the field, you spike your field spike, you send that in with your blank and with your samples, and if that recovery comes back in within the criteria, it really is a great benefit to show that our samplers are handling the samples in such a way that they're meeting and exceeding the expectations to come back with a 96% recovery. It just makes us look like our samplers know what they're doing if we consider maybe submitting a field spike.
Where you're actually adding cryptosporidium or E. coli, or in this case cryptosporidium, to the sample?
Correct. And you do it in the field.
Where do we get it? I don't
you
know.
Work with your laboratory and your laboratory.
So, if
you?
The board wanted to do that, you'd have to direct me to increase the budget by a certain amount so we could accommodate that extra sampling. And then I'm sure we could work with the lab to figure out how to do it. I don't think it's something that happens very often because it's not addressed any of the proposals that are here.
We're going to be sampling every 2 weeks for cryptosporidium, and we've done this before. This isn't the first time we've had to do this for a year. We did it in the 90s, too, and we never had one single hit of crypto, so I would wait to see if we actually have any before we start getting worried about how we're sampling. And our samplers, our guys doing it, they're good at it. They've been to classes. They're both of our treatment plant operators. They're the same guys making the drinking water.
So they're going through their inner pressures and they're getting trained.
Yeah.
So it's just something to consider in the future going forward if we really want to show that they know what they're doing, because we can prove what they're doing based on these recoveries.
Right. Well, basically, with the back tees is the ones that you're really worried about. Not the crypto, but when you're doing back tees, then that's when you really don't even want to breathe on it. Mm-hmm. The crypto, it'd be hard for us to have crypto on us to add it to a sample. You know what I mean? It's not where it comes from. But but if we start getting hits, I would think it might be a good idea.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. Again, this is based on experience, because I had a situation where I had a worker who was coming in to our Delta Field Division doing his sampling, and he would run his cows in the morning. He would come and do his samples. And when we had hits like this, we traced it back and did a quick investigation, found out it was him not washing his hands thoroughly enough and gloving up when he took his samples.
Right.
So we did the field spikes, and we just proved with retraining beyond a shadow of a doubt from then on. We could show that if we have hits, it's not because of our samplers.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. I apologize for taking so much time, but I'm glad they answered my questions. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Any additional questions, comments from the board?
Basically, all I added is that, just to help the public understand, so Cryptosporidium is a parasite, and it's very hard to, you don't normally look for it, and it requires a special test to identify. E. coli is the normal test that they do for sampling water. There's a certain amount of E. coli. If you reach that amount, then it becomes a tracer that there's possibly Cryptosporidium. So once you reach that amount, that's why it's like, all right, now we have to make sure there's no Cryptosporidium in the water. Because the way that it gets in the water is the same methods from possibly cow manure or humans. So that's basically how it gets in. So that's why it requires a special test. And the three main causes of diarrhea that's caused by these parasites is either E. coli, which is the main one, which you see all the time. The one we transmit person to person is the virus, norovirus, and then the other one is Cryptosporidium. Giardia is going to become the prevalent because we know it. That's the other parasite, and those are the ones that you kind of test for. And there was an issue before where someone was swimming in the lake and got crypto. So that was swimming in the river at the American River last year sometime. So that's one of the things they look for because it's ubiquitous. It's going to be there. So every so often you want to make sure it's not festering in your water supply.
Okay. Public comment on this agenda item. Anyone? No. Okay. We'll bring it back to the board for action. Staff's recommending approving the attached resolution for the contract, right? $20,780.
I move we accept the staff's recommendation.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Very good. Stephanie, roll call when you're ready, please.
What?
Motion without that.
Yeah. I got it. Thank you. Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item 7B, approved plan specifications for 2018. So this should be 2019, maybe. Main Canal Reliability Project. Steve?
Yeah, I do have, I think I have slides for this one too, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Slide
B. 7B.
Thank you for coming, Bill.
Not for the
So we're asking the board to approve the plans and specifications and authorize the bid process for 2018 Main Canal Reliability Project. I chose these pictures earlier. So this is the pictures of the ditch in one segment we're going to line. I don't know if that's my slide. Did I start with that one?
I think so. Yeah, let me go back one. Yeah.
Okay. This is an overview of the plan and the segment. So you can see, if you click one, I will highlight. So we for the purposes of bidding, we actually split the bid documents up into three segments or sections, 1, 2, 3. And this is just to give us some flexibility in awarding the contractors. I'm not exactly sure how much money this is going to cost. It's really highly variable on the contractors and time of year. And, you know, there's just a lot of factors going to ditch lining. I don't have, frankly, a lot of experience. We've done two now, so this is the third one. So we got segment one. It's around, so this area is down 193 here. What's the road name of Darrell? I'm always getting it
wrong. Turn right on Spanish Dry Diggins Road.
Spanish Dry Diggins. So Spanish Dry Diggins, and it goes towards the west from there. I think that's west, right?
That follows 193 towards Cool.
So the line that runs through that whole slide there is 193 towards Cool. As you go down from here from the right-hand side, some of the streets in there are Lasita Place. What else is over there?
Great Barn Mine.
Now, right there is Lasita. That's probably the biggest one everyone here knows about. Anyway, so the red there is section one, and then the next one again, they'll highlight section two, and then section three is the next one. Okay, go to the next slide. So this was a priority segment from the 2002 Water System Reliability Study that was done by CASEL. So It is in the adopted five-year capital improvement plan. And another reason for breaking into the sections is the engineer's estimate of the project exceeds the budget that we put in the five-year CIP by $200,000. So quite a big number. When I get those kind of engineer's estimates, I'm never quite sure if it's really accurate, because I can't fathom such a huge discrepancy from what we do with our planning level estimate. So I always think, well, let's split up and give ourselves some flexibility, give the board some flexibility, so when we award it, we can still award the full project or some piece of the project, something to get work done. So so we've got it split up in the bid documents for that reason. It's being funded out capital facility charge, which is fund 39. That's your development impact fee. Those funds are designated for very specific projects that have to be identified in that study. So this is one of those projects. So it's a great place to spend that money. The projected end of year balance in that fund is $831,000. So it's an excellent. So if you just go back to the map real quick.
To the map?
Yeah, leave it there. So, and I highlight this in the staff part too, is we're not asking for a budget, and then at this point in time, we're saying, let us go out to bid, we'll get the contractor bids, and then we'll see where we're at. Because this is a highly variable, I'm always a little leery of engineers' estimates that come in this far off from what we had programmed, so I want to see what the real numbers are from the contractor. And then the board can make a decision if you want to award segment one, segment one and two, segment one, two, and three, if you want to allocate more money to that project or to make up the difference between what the engineer estimate was and what the budget is and what the contractor, his prices are, just gives us some room. So I'm saying, let's go out to bid, get the results, and then we have some flexibility to award something within our budget or allocate more money towards it to get the full project done if, by chance, the construction bids come in higher than the project budget at this point. So once the board approves the project and plans and specs, we'll put it up in the eBid board, and it'll be on the district website. We'll have it advertised for a month, and we'll open them up in a public setting and come back to the board to award.
Stephen, so Red, how large is that miles, feet?
Let me think.
Approximately.
I have it in here somewhere. Let me see if I can. It's 1,655 linear feet. So it's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah.
It basically goes from, there's some pieces in there that are already lined, so it kind of hopscotches those. But this project is nice because it really does fill in a bunch of gaps and kind of extend on work that's already been done by the district in the past. So right next to Spanish or Diggins, there's a segment that's been done to the right of the red oval. And in the middle of the red oval, there's a little piece that was done at one point in time. In between the red and yellow, there's some pieces that were done. So it makes a nice segment from the road down a little ways towards the highway where we can really see some improvements. And then you saw the pictures of how much water is leaking out of there and how much trouble we're having getting that leak to stop.
Sorry, Steve, I just stepped out. Does that give me a bearing as to where that is again?
Yeah, so this is heading down 193, so the squiggly line runs through the whole slide as 193, and so if you're heading towards Cool, this project's on your right, just past Spanish Direct Diggings, past Marval.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you see, like, where that, I think at the end of the red oval is where the, or maybe it's the yellow one, there's the guy just put a brand new wooden fence in there. It really sticks out in my mind when I drive back that way. On the right-hand side, there's this huge wooden fence like that wasn't there before. That's kind of the middle of the project.
Okay.
Robinson.
Does this supply water to the new ALT plant?
Yes. I'm done with my presentation. Any more questions?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Questions?
Steve, just a couple for you.
Sure.
Is the council report, did they break off into three segments like this, or was that something that was decided after the council report was published?
No, that was my decision. And it's only breaking up the bidding, so the design is for the whole thing. And just for bidding purposes, we separated out in the bid sheet different quantities for each section, so that way, when we get the bids, we can give us some flexibility if we want to lower section one, or one and two, or one and three, or one, two, and three. We'll get a price. You'll get a price for all three.
For all three.
And then we'll be able to pick
and
choose.
Thank you. That's my next question.
Yep.
Okay,
great. It is for all three.
Okay. And was it mentioned in the report? I didn't see it anywhere unless I overlooked it. Do we need to, you mentioned CEQA, but is this in any way tied to a part of a federal project on federal land?
No.
Okay, so no need, but okay,
no.
Thanks. Great, thanks.
Would there be any sort of assessment as to what this might save in terms of leakage or anything like that? It's just a line it, right? We wouldn't have any of that information until
I haven't done any kind of analysis
recently
on
through
it.
The treatment plants, really.
I don't think Castle did. I don't think there's any analysis of what the water savings would be, but anecdotally.
I know I missed the slide, but it's a problem area.
Well, if you remember, as back to my gym report, those two pictures of the water pouring out of the ditch.
Oh, yeah.
That's in this segment. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions from the board? Public comment on this agenda item? Come on up.
Karen Bartholomew, and I just have a question. What is it you're going to do to that? Is that a ditch, an open ditch right now? So what is it that they're getting
bids
on?
Just an open dirt ditch. We're going to gunite it, put concrete line it.
Okay. I was just wondering. I didn't know if it was going to be piped or...
No.
Great. Any other public comment on this agenda item? Seeing none. Bring it back to the board for your pleasure.
I make a motion that we accept the board's or the staff's recommendation.
I'll second that.
Okay. Stephanie, you're all set when you're ready for a roll call, please.
Director Hoffman?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay, moving on. Agenda item 7C, second reading of an ordinance certifying annual direct charges, fees, and assessments. Christina, you want to take this one?
Yeah. So there is a typo. It's 2019-01 is the ordinance. But the same as last time, and actually we did learn from legal counsel that going forward we don't have to do the public hearing. We can just read the ordinance. Next time, one time, and then 30 days, we can go ahead if you approve it at a meeting. We'll still scrub the list like we do now. There has been one person. There has been one person that paid today, so they will be being taken off of this list.
That was my question. If anything has changed since last time.
Yeah, there's one person that paid so far, but it will continue to. You know, check all these accounts until we send it to the county in a week or two. So.
Okay. I'm going to turn to legal since we're still doing this. What do I need to do protocol-wise so I don't...
It's just the second reading, so you have a...
Okay. So we have to open the public hearing. We did the public hearing last time.
So it's just the second reading of the ordinance. So it just... you can wait. You can summarize the ordinance really quick or... And that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I was going to open up for public comment first. Unless there's any other board questions, comments? Seeing none?
I just read the title of it.
I don't
need to read the whole
order. Okay.
Yeah. Did you mind if I ask Christina just a couple questions?
Yeah.
Do we have actually a lien policy that we follow for when these occurrences happen and so that we follow a proper notification process?
Yes, it's
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's in the code, too.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, it's every year we go through the same process.
Is that all?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
No, that's a good question. Okay.
That's stretching.
Okay. So then with that, I will do the second reading.
Yeah.
Of this, an ordinance of the Georgetown Divide Public Utility District stating the purpose for adding to and making assessments levied upon the land upon which water service was used and charges unpaid and for annual assessment district levies. This is the second reading of this ordinance.
So then does somebody have to make a motion? Or no?
We're not going to need a motion.
All right.
It's just a reading of the ordinance. You can move to adopt the ordinance.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll move that we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Director Halp and Director, second by Director Saunders. Roll call when you're ready, Stephanie, please.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye.
I'm scared to death I'm going to say your
no,
name
you,
wrong
yeah,
again.
You're
doing great.
You tell
I'm
off.
Every
time. Hesitate.
I hesitate.
Okay. Item 7D. Consider joining Coalition for Fire Protection and Accountability. Steve, you want to do a staff report on this? Please?
Yes. Yes, sir. So, back on July 9th, the Mountain County's Water Resources Agency, which the district belongs to, reached out and asked their poll membership by email to join this Coalition for Fire Protection and Accountability. So I'm looking for board direction on whether or not the board wants to join this coalition. The stated mission of the coalition is to urge Governor Newsom and legislator to implement common sense reforms that will help protect communities from future wildfires and ensure the safety of California's drinking water. The principles are included in the staff report and attachment 2 and also summarized in the report. Basically, basically, they were formed in response to large costs some water agencies are incurring as a result of wildfires. The one example that they list is a $69 million judgment against River Linda Water District for rents related to the Freeway Complex fire. I won't pretend to know exactly how your River Linda Water District got dinged for a $69 million judgment in that event, but ultimately, this coalition advocates for efforts to prevent public water systems from being held responsible for damage caused by wildfires. So that's their mission. They go out and lobby the legislators and the governor to make sure that if any judgments happen or any laws are coming up, that they're there to head them off and make sure that water agencies aren't somehow getting held responsible for costs that should be rightly the responsibility of utility companies or just the general public good. They're trying to protect us. There's a whole list of agencies that belong to this organization or coalition. There is no financial impact to this. There's no membership fees, nothing else. It's just we're going to tell them, yeah, you can use our name and say we're part of this coalition and we're going to support you. And when you go out to these legislators and the governor for your advocacy efforts.
So the reason why it was such a large judgment against the district was because of the quote that's on the handout where you can see, I'm not sure what page you are, but it's the Coalition for Fire Protection handout, the second page, there's a quote, is that they're using inverse condemnation and strict liability against the agencies. There's legislation that we're, AQUA, and I'm sure others have been trying to work on to deal with this particular issue, but yeah, so far we're not there. This whole strict liability, inverse condemnation is a real issue. It's a big concern.
And so you say once again, Mountain County is just paying for Bob's time basically out of their existing membership fees?
That's right. That's what I understand.
Doing this legislative thing.
Oh, okay.
He's trying to get they want a coalition, so you know how it looks better, right?
I understand. Yeah. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Okay. Questions from the board?
The only thing I had, another water agency was sued when PG&E cut off the power, so they weren't able to supply water to fight a fire as well. So, I mean, they had no power, and the generators were damaged by the fire, so there was no generator to help provide the backup water. So these are the things you have to be looking forward to in these catastrophic occurrences. So to have protection beforehand is the way to go.
It's a benefit for having stuff be full right now during fire season.
Yeah, the problem is when the fire comes through the system, the lines are burnt. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what's full. You've got no lines, you've got no infrastructure to move the water.
True, but if they have to dip, they'll dip like they did mm-hmm. fire right by my house the other day. They dipped into my neighbor's pond. I was just thankful they could afford his irrigation.
Yeah.
Well, his pond full. So, yeah. You never know what's going to happen with wildfires.
Well, this is also good because I've gone through the list here, the coalition, we've got a number of our local agencies here as well, too. So fostering some more interaction amongst El Dorado County water agencies, I think is certainly a good thing for not only for this, but for future things as well.
Yeah, there's no downside to this. So.
Okay, there's no other comments. Opened up to public comment on this agenda item, if there's any. Okay, seeing none. Close public comment. Bring it back to the board for action.
Oh, sure. I'll make a motion that we accept the staff's recommendation.
Second.
Oh.
Either or.
Beat me to it.
Either or. I don't get any bonus points.
He'll do anything to get his name in the mail.
Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Roll call, Stephanie, when you're ready, please.
Okay. Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay, thank you everyone. Moving right along, agenda item 7E, new board policies required for SDLF transparency certification. Christina, I assume you have this one?
During the March 12th Board of Directors goal setting meeting, for the second year in a row, the board adopted some goals that they wanted to achieve for the current year, and that was to pursue the certification as District of Distinction. One of the key things to be able to get District of Distinction is to actually receive the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence. And I've attached both the District of Distinction application as well as the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence. If you look at the District Transparency Certificate, most of the things that we are required to have, we've met so far. The biggest things that we're missing are the policies for the Board of Directors. So we've taken from the CSDA model policy 5000, which is the Brown Act compliance, 5030, which is board meeting conduct, and then 540, which is rules of order for conduct of board and committee meetings. And then we've also included 4040, which is duties. It's a current policy that we have, just to kind of show you one of the models we changed a little bit to mirror what the board president current policy is that we have. So these are some of the policies that are required in order for us to be able to apply for the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence.
And just to summarize, the change on 5040 is our policy doesn't allow, 4048 doesn't allow whoever the board president is to make or
second
a motion. So you, that's
so
your,
we just
your
edited
line
that, yeah.
Change. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Board questions, comments?
I think it's a good move moving forward that we're going for this transparency certificate. And as I mentioned before, when we do the new policies that we approve to separate by a separate resolution, so in future we can reference them back in terms of looking at the individual policies. One of the practices I would say moving forward is anytime we have a new policy is to have one meeting where we can review, discuss, input, take in and out, and the next meeting to vote on it. This way we have much more time to review any policies. That's the only thing I have to add on that. I had some, if we're going to do each one individually to go over, we can do it that way. But I have questions on various ones. So.
Okay.
You
go ahead and start with those.
The other one I had on questions on was the procedures and policies. And just some clarifications that we can consider adding. And it was 5040-4.5, the motion to close debate and vote immediately. And just to provide clarification where all of the others has seconded and approved by a majority vote of the board, and that one doesn't. We should just add that for clarification.
Mike, can you say that again? Which one is that?
5040.4.5. It's the motion to close debate and vote immediately. And that one says, as provided above, any director may move to close debate and immediately vote on the main motion. But it doesn't say, which is then seconded and approved by a majority vote of the board. So it gives the impression that somebody can just say, close the vote, that's it.
I think that's what it's intended.
And then that's what I'm saying. We probably shouldn't go with that. We should have that seconded and approved by a majority vote of the board. Where everything is a majority vote, and this one lets one individual stop board motions.
But doesn't this force us to vote?
It does, but it also stops any debate from going on by one individual.
Yeah, if a particular director feels like the discussion's just lingering on, they can move to have the vote.
It's an efficiency. I agree with Mike. Yeah, I mean,
it's just efficiency.
Yeah, I agree that with Mike. You don't want to give me this power.
Exactly. Because you will use it. You'll be like, we talked about this.
Exactly.
And I'm sure we realize when things are going on, and we could say, you know, we've went a long time and we should consider, but to give one person that vote.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever a bad thing if we clarify these policies. That just adds more clarification.
So do we, what's the process that we're going to write something up here and record it?
My suggestion is that you direct staff to make any edits that you guys want.
I think that's what you just did, isn't it? You basically just want that same language in the 5040.4.4 above,
yes.
Which is then seconded and approved by a majority vote of the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's sent it on to, that's clear?
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So I guess since we started with this one, why don't we go ahead and doing this backwards, it looks like. But let's address 5040.
So I make a motion we approve this with the modifications Mike has suggested.
Second.
Can we take other comments from board directors first?
Yeah, I actually have a comment as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shut my mouth.
He's ready to vote.
Okay. Why don't we go, Director Garcia, why don't you go first?
Well, is Mike finished?
Are we still on 5040?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So can I clarify? So it's going to say which is then seconded and 5044.5. Mm-hmm. We're going to put director may move to close debate, then second and approve by a majority of the board and immediately vote on a motion. Is that how you're wanting it worded?
Put that after, can close debate and immediately vote on the main motion, which is then seconded and approved by a majority vote. So the action is to close debate and immediately vote on the main motion.
Then seconded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Mike, you have other things, or?
That was it for me.
Okay. Garcia?
Yes, I have a couple. Back in April, I provided a draft of some changes I'd like the board to consider on 4040, duties of the board president, the board chair, and it was never acted upon, so I'd like to reintroduce it today. It was one of the items I asked to be part of the permanent record, so it'll go in as part of the meeting minute notes for today's meeting. But there are quite a few changes on 4040 that I'd like to discuss, and I don't know if that's the best way to do it now, is if you want to go over line item by line item,
I don't think we can go over this because we're talking about these three on the agenda, isn't it? Or I turned
well, we have 4040 on here, though.
I know, that's because it's cross-referencing another policy that we're...
This one's
we're
not
changing 4040.
For action.
So we're on 5040.
Okay, so which ones are on the agenda then? Because
we're going to go through one by one.
Well, it's 500.
Because it looks like according to these attachments...
5030
really
and then
clear.
5040. So, I just think it seems pretty clear to me. Those are the three ones. 4040 is basically a cross-reference to our current, the current policy that we have.
Okay, so
we're actually
down.
Considering 5,000, 5,030, and 5040.
Okay, so the way this is laid out...
Actually, we're doing 5040 right now because that was where we started, and so we're going to talk about that one.
Okay, so attachment three is board policy 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
That would be on the agenda for any changes, correct? Just so I'm clear,
yes.
I understand.
Yes.
Attachment 4 is 5030. Attachment 5 is 5040.
Yes.
Attachment 6 is 4040. Okay. And then I go to the resolution. So does that mean that attachment 6 is not part of the agenda?
It's okay. If you go into the discussion, attachment 5 is the rules and order of conduct, and after that it says the red line change was made to reflect the current board policy attachment 6. So we're trying to show you the current policy as to why we why we're redlining 5040.
And here's the resolution tells you 5,000,
okay.
5030,
5040. So it's just to show you why we made that red line change to the policy that was there.
Okay.
The reference is actually in 4040.3. The president shall have all the rights to discuss and vote any issues before the board, but not to move or second any motion.
Okay, so then the concern that I have is we separate the policies from the certification and focus, and see if we can focus on outreach. That was another one of the questions I have, but before we get to that, I don't have any changes on 5,000. 5030 or 5040, with the exception of agreeing with Mike's for clarification. But I do have some concerns that I've made several attempts to try to get board policies and procedures on the agenda so that we can discuss it from a board governance point of view, just the five of us, in an open session, so that we can talk about making some changes to policies that would be included in such a certification as this. So the concern I have is, if those could be subject to change, I agree with Mike's original request that we separate out some of these policies on a case-by-case basis on the resolutions, so that we can address them individually, and then as we come up with others that we finally talk about and we make some changes to, see if maybe this resolution could cover them that then come under this certification so that we are showing that we are transparent.
The duties of the board president is not included in the SDLF transparency certification. So that's why we're pursuing the transparency certifications. We don't have these policies, so we need to do it. So 4040 is a whole, it's irrelevant for the SDLF. I understand it's not irrelevant to our discussion,
mm-hmm.
but it's irrelevant for the SDLF policy or for the SDLF application.
Okay. All right, I appreciate the clarification. Thank you. I don't have any other questions then.
So let's go back. Let's again. I know we're kind of doing this backwards, but I think we kind of started that way with 5040. Just trying to summarize this here. So we have a change that was suggested by Director Saunders on 5040.4.5 to add the language, which I believe Christina has. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Our staff understands what has been requested.
Do you want me to say it one more time just to make sure
yeah.
we're okay? So on 5044.5, motion to close debate and vote immediately. As provided above, any director may move to close debate and immediately vote on a main motion, then seconded and approved by a majority vote of the board. That's how you want it to say, read.
Which is that?
Yeah, which is
okay.
that. I mean, it's basically that same sentence that
the one before it.
Dependent
yeah,
clause
beyond
above.
The count. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything
okay.
beyond the count.
Which is then
on
second.
The
okay.
Okay. Legal. You had a question too, right? Or a comment?
5040.3.2 and 5043.2.1. This is, This is the way the procedure that they that is outlined here is how historically was done, and then last meeting you corrected me after the meeting when I corrected you during the meeting because you had changed the process, right? So this is the old process still here, and that doesn't reflective of how you're running these meetings.
That's a good point.
So I would.
I mean, I guess it's. That's something that's up to the board. To me, as the person charged, at least currently, to run these meetings, it made a little more sense in my head to kind of do it this way, have a discussion up front with the board, ask some questions, then open it for public comment, because in the past, what I saw was that there would be a discussion amongst the board, and then a motion and a second would have been made, and it's kind of, to me, it felt like, wow, well, people kind of made their mind up, and it's like, okay, now we'll open up to public comment, but we already have a motion and a second on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, if someone brings something up, and it's like, well, no, wait, then we need to amend a motion and change this. So that's the reason. It didn't make sense in my head when I was sitting, not in this chair, another one of these chairs, to how we did it. So that was why I suggested that we, you know, do it the way that we've been doing it
mm-hmm.
going forward. So, contrary to some public opinion, I don't control this board. So, whatever the board wants to do, that's just the way that it's always made sense, kind of in my head, to do it that way. And actually, I think it allows the public to have more input on this process because we haven't already made a motion before they contribute.
And I agree with that.
That's a rationale.
If we do it the opposite way, then we probably would need to add the motion to withdraw. So after we hear something from the public and we go, oh, we might have to change that, then we might have to withdraw a previous motion. So I think the way that we've been doing it works well.
Yeah, so that...
So that would almost mean like, would that mean like striking 40.3.2?
It's either you need to strike it or it has to be reflective of how you're doing it now.
Right, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
And you can always, you can always put language in here into this section too that says, or as the board president at the time determines to run the meeting, because that's ultimately what your powers include. So you could leave the language the way it is too and add that qualifier, but to me, to adopt a policy now that's not reflective of how you're running your meetings is a waste of time.
So why don't we work through this then? Let's work through this real quickly, Dane, the five of us, to say what we are doing and just clarify it even further.
Okay, I mean, I can start verbalizing it, right? I mean, it's so we hear.
I think everybody understands what the difference is. What wording do we have to change here to put this in compliance to what we're doing?
Right.
I think we just focus on the words.
Right.
We all agree that we like to let the public comment before we make a motion, as opposed to after we make a motion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if that's what we agree we've been doing and we think that's a good idea?
Let's just change the words.
Yeah, that just gets down to wordsmith this so it reflects that that's what we want to accomplish.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it for a bit to figure out exactly how to do it.
Do you want to wordsmith it real quick or at least try for a draft? Because
I can offer a suggestion, because when I read this, 50.40.3 just deals with motions. It doesn't really talk about, public comment is in there, but it doesn't talk about the order of how you do business. So maybe you just strike it. And that would.
They're saying you have to make it, or. That's just motion.
Strike 3.2, or just strike that sentence in 3.2 says public has, after public has.
Motion has been stated by the president, can we strike that line and just leave after the matter has been fully debated and after public has, the president can call the vote?
Well, see, the president, there's no motion.
The president can call for a motion.
There's no motion.
Well, instead of
the president can bring it back to the board. can bring it back to the board. It's
instead
probably
of vote
the better
motion.
Way.
So why does it's going to take a little time to
yeah,
work? So you guys are trying to do it on the fly.
Not a good idea.
It's not a good idea. I think it needs a preamble.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess
if you advise the direction.
I think you have to just restructure the way this whole section is.
So we can give staff direction to do that
yep.
and bring it back.
Yep.
You guys have enough, you feel, to craft some language and start with something? Or
I think.
You know how
we're
running the meeting.
Okay. Just,
yeah.
And obviously with the change that Director Saunders incorporated as well.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And that would be on those two sections, or the 3.2 and the 3.2.1.
I think you're just going to rewrite this whole section.
The whole section.
It's just
okay.
instead of
motions.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll probably call it agenda items. Right? You call the, because what he's doing, he's calling the agenda
right.
item. You're having a discussion, you're having a, you know, public comment.
Right.
Then there's a request for a motion and a second and a vote. So, so this is all back. You do it differently. But.
Okay.
speaking of
public comment, let's have any public comment on 5040 specifically, since we're doing these one at a time.
What Mike said?
The whole thing, if you
the
have
whole
any
thing.
The whole thing.
About the motion?
No, about the whole policy.
About the whole policy.
The whole agenda item. Oh, I agree
well,
that we need to do those motions like you're talking about.
Okay. So we got clarification. Let's move on to do you want to move backwards or just go to the beginning now?
Yeah, just go backwards.
So I'll go 5030. So now we are on to policy number 5030, board meeting conduct. Okay. Board comments. Question. I think it's pretty straightforward to me. So,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's actually pretty much what we already do, anyways.
CSVA is very good with a lot of their templates. This was a pretty good coverage of everything.
Okay. So I'm generally hearing some consensus on this one as written. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm good with it.
Okay. Any legal on this one at all?
No.
Okay. So then I'll open it up then. If I don't see anything else from the board, I'm open it up again for public comment. This is on 5030, the policy number, board meeting conduct.
I'm just trying to look at disruptions. I really get tired of when we're trying to conduct
okay.
business that somebody has to disrupt us to ask a question. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
5030.
Wait, hold on. What page are you on?
5040.
Yeah. 5040. 5030.5.
5,
the last one.
You know, willful disruptions of any meeting of the board of directors shall not be permitted.
This is the weapon here.
0.4. This limits them to 5 minutes.
Right.
Per,
got it.
Per speaker, with 20 minutes per subject.
Okay, I'll be highlighting that one.
Well, I think that's one of the, yeah, I mean, there's more of a almost a stopwatch is probably something that we need to do on some things, not a lot of them, but some.
Just the one thing I wanted to point out is 5030.4.1 with public comments, it gives the 5 minutes allocation, and we've been using 3, so just to make sure
right.
that you are fine with
yep.
that change.
I'm fine with it.
Sorry, Dave.
Mr. Sauerpost. I got voted out on that one.
That limits them to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
So
I like
okay.
3 minutes better. But I'll just fidget for him.
Yeah, I'm fine with it as written.
Okay. Sorry, public comment? Okay. why don't, Phil, as I saw your hand first, why don't you go first?
It's a difficult to comment when we don't know what's written. We're only hearing little bits. You want this part changed, you like this part, but we haven't heard it, so how can we comment on it? Could you read it?
I mean, the agenda's been out. Is there an agenda?
I have the agenda, it's not
agenda
here.
The whole packet is posted.
I mean, maybe not word for word, but maybe you could describe what it is. If you want public comment, we have to know what you're talking about.
Sorry, I thought you had looked at this, so my apologies for that assumption. The first policy goes in board meeting conduct. So first there's kind of rules of order that they should be, the meetings of the board of directors shall be conducted by the president in a manner consistent with the policies of the district. The policy that we just referred to, another policy.
She's got a copy there. You can just read it as opposed to you reading it.
Yeah, but there's okay. Several people in the room and only one copy, so yeah. Please keep going.
So
you post the agenda packet, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, it's been posted, and there's a copy in the room.
It goes to rule, I'll hit the highlights of what each one's. There's rules of order, there's agenda timing, and says basically that all meetings should start at the time stated on the agenda, should be guided by the same. The placement of an item on the agenda should not be that they, basically there's flexibility to move different agenda items, which we've done in the past, different orders, right? So if something needs to be moved, we've done that, just says that. Conduct of the meetings. Meetings shall be conducted in an open and fair manner. Public shall be given ample opportunity to participate. Notice public hearings shall be conducted in an orderly fashion. The board president has established the order, is charged with establishing the order of the proceedings. Public comment. Again, this policy says it's 5 minutes for each speaker. For a total of 20 on an agenda item, so that could come into effect if you have an agenda item, someone you're going to have to allocate, it's like 20 minutes would be the one you have to allocate four speakers, right? Or however a group wants to break that up, but 20 minutes would be the limit.
You could have 21 minute speakers.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you could have 20, however anybody wants to do it. But it does give the person, the board president, to allow additional per speaker and per subject comment time when necessary for a full and fair proceeding. So. Rate study, right? Might be one of them. So that there's that flexibility in there. And then it basically just says go, there's no disruptive conduct shall be permitted. Persistent disruption shall be grounds for summary termination of that person's privilege of address. And usually if that's someone who's, really going over the top on something, then that's when that would come into effect. I don't think it's, I've seen it. So, I mean, high-level summary, I understand, but essentially what it gets down to.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay, so Karen, go ahead.
So does that five-minute limit or the 20-minute limit, does that apply to public hearings too? Is that what this is for? So if there's
yes.
A public hearing on an item and it's very controversial and you have a packed room, people out in the parking lot,
right.
After you've had 20 minutes of testimony, you cut off everyone else?
Well, what it says is, under that one provision, yes, but then the next provision says that the board president, whoever that person is, may allow additional per speaker and per subject comment time when necessary for a full and fair proceeding. Now, yeah, there's ambiguity in that, that's true, but there is, that language is clearly in there.
But is that legal if the board president doesn't want to allow the rest of the testimony? Is that legal to have a public hearing and not allow everyone from the public who wants to speak on something to speak on it because someone else talked too much?
I would turn to legal. I think you can put limits on public comment periods, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So. Okay, Karen, do you want to go next?
No.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know if you had
other
things.
We all kind of had the same question. We didn't know what we were...
Okay. Carolyn, you the same thing in the back?
Same thing.
Okay. Okay, so discuss that. So then I'll bring it back to the board. Sounds like we can take action on this one. If there's some consensus and people are generally happy with what this one outlines. aside from Director Souza with the 5 minutes, I understand.
But yeah, I'm sure the concerns of the audience, I mean, if it comes to like the irrigation issue and there's a whole bunch of customers who are on irrigation that would like to speak, I'm sure that they will extend that opportunity for everybody that we heard. So, I mean, there are issues that will come up where it will be, where it's going to be a different spin per person as opposed to hearing the same issue over and over, where 20 minutes will probably be adequate.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's something that goes both ways. I mean, you know, made it clear you don't like me as board president, or you have your person as board president. There could be something else. Another side could say, we're not getting our time. So it's incumbent upon the board president to try to make this whole thing, you know, allocate additional time to make sure it's fair. But there is, I mean, it says, I'm not,
I'm saying
the board president may make the discretion. That's right. So people should be clear about that. Okay. So I think, can we take a motion to approve 5030 if there is such interest? Or what's the board's pleasure?
I make a motion to approve policy number 5030, which covers board meeting conduct.
Okay.
Second that.
Okay. Stephanie, if you got that, and when you're ready for a roll call, please.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye.
Okay. I'll be watching this one.
Exactly.
It's going to be highlighted.
So first one last here, Brown Act compliance policy number 5000, and it's just like the one before, attachment 3 there in the packet. Brown Act compliance open meeting requirements. Again, to me, I think this is pretty much what we already do.
Right, what we follow.
Right.
Yeah. This is just a blip of the Brown Act. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have meetings in the open.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No serial discussions.
All right. Okay. And the committees too.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it as written.
Okay. Likewise. Okay. Sorry,
I'm good.
Going through it. Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. Public comment on attachment 3, policy number 5000 related to Brown Act compliance. Seeing none, close public comment. Entertain a motion, if that's the board's pleasure, to adopt policy number 5000 regarding Brown Act compliance.
I make a motion to adopt policy 5000 on Brown Act compliance.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion and a second. Stephanie, you got those? And when you're ready for a roll call, please.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Thank you, everyone. All right. Let's keep moving along. Agenda item 7F. Consider board policy regarding director reports. Steve, if you have a pre-staff report on this.
Yeah. So I've received multiple requests from directors wanting to make PowerPoint presentations at the board meeting as part of their board reports informational item. There is no board policy that informs directors of the content, format, length of topics that are to be presented during board reports. Historically, the district board reports have been limited to providing a brief summary of activities they have attended on behalf of the district's last meeting, and typically lasts less than 1 to 2 minutes. Occasionally, board members will request that handouts or materials be included in the agenda packet to supplement the oral report. Directors that are requesting PowerPoint presentations state they are trying to comply with board policy 4090, which I've attached to attachment 1, which states that upon returning from seminars, workshops, conferences, etc., where expenses are reimbursed by the district, directors will either report or prepare a written report for distribution to the board or make a verbal report for the next regular meeting. So we did some research into this. I think I was explained before, I've been in local government for right about 16 years. I've never seen an elected official at a city council meeting or a board of directors meeting at the county level prepare a presentation and make PowerPoint presentation to the rest of their fellow elected members. I just don't ever see it. So kind of looked out to see what are other people doing. And I had some help from legal counsel on this to see what are some guidance policies that exist out there in the public realm that kind of give some guidance on what would constitute a board report item. So I've got some examples that are highlighted in the staff report. They're also attached. And I've highlighted the normal or the pertinent sections of this. So I'm just looking for direction on what the board would like to do with this issue. If you want to adopt some kind of policy that speaks to what is included in the board report and what is appropriate in the board report, what the board wants to have in their board report item. I need direction on whether you want to do a policy, and then the elements you'd like to include in the policy, such as content, format, length, and then I bring back at a future meeting. So I'm not expecting the board here to come up with some decision on what that policy would be per se. I just need direction on, do you want me to go through the process of preparing a draft policy, give me some topics you'd like to consider, and then we can start working through this process. There's probably other ways you could handle this if you wanted, but that's kind of where we're at right now. I don't know, I can highlight some of the things in here. Essentially, it does appear that most of these talk about providing a brief report. Some of them, if they have time limits, they'll say 5 minutes or maybe no more than 10 minutes. And in no case do I see anything talking about if there's visual aids or formal presentations or how to address those. So I'm just looking for guidance on what the board wants to do with this item on their meetings.
I kind of like the one from Placer County Water Agency.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. The only thing I was going to say, I was just going to add basically section B from that, just a time limit on the reports. That would be consistent with what we just did for the policy for public comment, 5 minutes each for reports, announcements, or comments. Additional time may be extended by the chair/board mm-hmm. president, in our case, to our basically existing policy of 4090.4. Because I think if we've approved expense reimbursement, it's something that's relevant to the district. We've already taken that action. This is relevant. So that's why we're going and we're providing reimbursement. So that's kind of already been addressed. But the verbal report then would be, like I said, 5 minutes of additional time could be allocated by the person who's the board president. So I agree with you. So long way of saying that.
My question is, could this one that Placer County is using somehow be incorporated, does it need to be incorporated into an existing policy, or that becomes a new policy?
I'd have to go through the policy manual and see where it would fit. I mean, that's the board's direction. We would try and find an existing policy where it made sense to fit and bring it back to you guys to revise. And if it doesn't, we would craft a new one.
And then in terms of PowerPoint, I think we're using that like the unfortunately generic term of Xerox. So it's like I have slides and we use PowerPoint. So if I could show a couple of images through the PowerPoint program, that's a little different than doing a full PowerPoint presentation. So I mean, there's a difference there. It's like I have a couple of slides if it's possible to show. It's different from a full PowerPoint.
I mean, it doesn't really stay here whether it's PowerPoint, Xerox, or oral. Just you have a 5-minute window and you can have at it.
Yep.
And I think we ought to give each director their own leeway to do what they want to do to convey their information. Steve's been torturing with PowerPoint all day, so we ought to at least have the same advantage.
So the only difference is if we have like someone attends 3 conferences in that month, they may just have that easy way to get.
Right. And obviously the board, it says in there, the board chairman has some discretion here, and he's going to be reasonable.
Well, the way PCWA does it too is it's only for those things that are paid for by the district, other than community meetings, right? And so I wouldn't imagine that you would have the director go to 3 things in a month.
Well, some things might be pertinent, like the stakeholders needed for the state if there's something significant about water loss, which they're going to start charging us, where we might have to consider this as an item where we might have to get Aqua or other people to look into. So I need there to be something like that. But as I said, that might be a 30-second or 40-second, you know.
Yeah, or an agenda item. Could be an agenda item. That's something like that, where you're asking the board to take action, so.
Yeah. Well, I was going to pipe in real quick. The whole doing of, I agree with Steve on this, that I've been in local government almost as long, or about the same time as you have, and I haven't seen elected officials do actual PowerPoint presentations to the board. That's generally, I think what we have here, a written report for distribution to the board or a verbal report. When I've had these things, and I'll have one, next month or in October, I just make a verbal report hitting the highlights of what actually happened. So that's,
images like the watershed thing, it will take me 3 minutes to describe that and 30 seconds to show a slide and move on, so.
Mm-hmm. Correct, and there are, I think there are some events that we attend where if safety issues or emergency response issues come up, sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. And I think we lose definition of the term PowerPoint, and we all assume it's going to be something long and arduous, and you know, it's going to take time to put it together and time to go through it. And that's not what my intention was, to bring back the picture from Trinity County to show the board and the staff, was just the one picture of an issue that they had, and it showed several different items that were of not only a safety concern, but concerns as far as being under the obligation to mitigate this site, which was going to be expensive, things like that. So sometimes a picture's worth 1,000 words. So I would hate to limit this to only things that the district paid for by reimbursement. I think if we limit it to 5 minutes and we understand that if a PowerPoint is done, it's basically to show like one or two images, but stay within the time frame. And again, it would be more of a public service announcement kind of issue, as well as the additional information we're conveying in the report for whatever the other activities were that we learned.
Well, we had one of these kind of today. So in terms of, there were some pictures that were put up, right? I mean, how did people feel about that in general? So I think that's probably one of the questions, right? The most relevant example.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think we should, these things.
The only downside I see to it is it's President Calisthenics. That's the downside to it, but we show PowerPoints all throughout the day, so.
Right, I mean, I guess I'm in favor of letting each board member have the leeway, and at the same time, the El Presidente has a discretion to say, hey, wait a minute, you're crossing the line here, and that gives you like a little checks and balance, right? You're given 100% leeway, he's given 100% discretion, and we'll sort it out reasonably, because we're reasonable people.
So do we take this information and create a standalone policy?
My sense would be to just direct the staff, based on this conversation, just like you did on the other one, come on back and
the draft.
I'll bring back a draft, either of a new policy or how to incorporate the existing policies.
Okay.
It might fit into the 54.
Any public comment on this agenda item?
Staff can use PowerPoints, consultants can use it, the general manager uses it, but the directors can't. That to me was just absurd to even think about that, as long as you stay within your minutes.
Okay.
A report's a report.
Steve?
I'd just like to comment that the picture that Steve put up that showed the leak in the main canal was a lot more impactful than him just telling me we had a leak in the main canal.
Exactly.
So I think that kind of demonstration does have a place.
It's also feeling to me like it's another example of the general manager trying to silence some of the board members.
That's not true.
That's what it feels like to me.
Okay. So we provided direction to staff. Staff's got what they needed?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Item 7G, review planned finance committee items for fiscal year 2019-2020.
Time for some Dark President of Calisthenics.
I need it for me.
I just thought it'd be helpful to throw. I'd have thought it'd be helpful to throw the list up on the board people can see.
Is this not it?
Oh, I'm just doing it. Sorry.
Oh yeah, there's.
That's from the
online. Other. Yeah, for all everything I presented, there's. I did have handouts, so if anybody here wants to see the PowerPoint, the ones I did.
Okay. Oh, sorry guys.
You
open
my.
They're still walking around the room.
Okay.
Is that the first? Yeah, probably. So, kind of response to some board member comments and the finance committee chair comments from the last board meeting. Bringing back to the board just a review of the planned finance committee items for fiscal year 19-20. So my intent is to present to you, here's what the work staff has planned, or we see the finance committee providing input during this fiscal year, and then get some feedback from the board on any direction they might have on those items. So this is cut and paste from the resolution establishing the volunteer finance committee with what they're charged with doing. And again, this is board resolution, so this is, it's in the packet, I think, 2018-14, so this is the committee's role. I won't read it. Here we go, the next slide has a list of the planned items that we anticipate bringing to the committee for their review and input before they come to the board. So all these things will come to the board. I think they all will come to the board for board review and approval. And